Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Vaskajane Satanine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Go Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, I affectionately welcome you for this first session of bringing devotion to our chanting. This is this year our contribution to the Holy Name retreat. Now let me, as an introduction, say that I'm particularly keen, or I'm curious to see how this our session will go, because it is actually a little bit more advanced teachings on the Holy Name. Now, you might have heard that the devotees are very kind to us by inviting us all over the world to give Holy Name retreats, and they do so because they wish to hear some. Should I go closer? Maybe. Yes, I can. You don't need to adjust. I have to adjust my spine. Yes, I'm good. Good. Thank you. My God, is it a good sound? So, during the years, this is going on for several years now, I felt compelled or forced inside to somehow come up with a practical and not so theory-based approach to teaching and also chanting the Holy Name with devotees. And in my attempt to do so, I began a very extensive study of our literature and also the instructions which Srila Prabhupada had given on the subject. And I also, on the side, became interested, how do other spiritual traditions who understand that Krishna's most merciful and most accessible form is the Holy Name, what type of practical instructions do they give? And then, if I found something valuable, to see, do we have something in the Gaudiya tradition? So I felt I was becoming a little bit like a scholar in this, because devotees kept inviting me. And as a result of this work, I came up with five key understandings, which I presented in a written form in this book called The Living Name. So as we began to teach these methods of chanting, and also as we applied them year after year in our own chanting, we had to make very sure that what we were presenting is absolutely authorized. Remember, our approach was not to teach the philosophy of the Holy Name, but our approach was to teach the practice of the Holy Name. That's a total different chapter. So, we have taught this Living Name retreat now over the, in a few places. One of them, New Vrindavan in America. And now in New Vrindavan, we all felt very happy in the retreat. I mean, the devotees who came and they felt they got something substantial. Now there's a problem. I have been invited the third time. Two times I could teach what is in the book. But now comes the third time. What will I teach now that is both consistent, I want to keep these practices alive, but which gives a deeper level information. And while being in Vrindavan this year, I began to think, and I came up with many notes, you can see, and developed developed this course which we will do now. It's a 1.5 hours, and it's the first time for you and for me to go into it, and it will be a little bit more advanced. I want to caution you, it's not any longer sit properly and move your lips and listen to yourself, chant attentively. We will go one step deeper, no? So you will have to sweat a little bit and do a little effort in two ways. First, I will teach you something theoretical. And then we will go into a practical exercise, which will be taken, which will go a little bit deeper. We will involve, we will do japa meditation, believe it or not. So good. Are you with me? Good. So let us pray first. See these beautiful parrots there? They have wonderful. They will hopefully stay, join us. Namaste Girirajaya. Namaste Girirajaya. Shigo Ashesha Klesha Nashaya. Paramananda Dayine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale. Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta. Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Sarasvati Deve. Gauravani Pacharine. Nirvishesha Shunyavari. Paskatyadi Shatarine. Jagrat svapna shushuptam cha gunatu buti vrittaya tasam vilakshano jiva shakshidvena vinishchita. This verse, shakshidvena, is one of my favorite philosophical concepts because it means a position of a spiritual person in this world who understands that really he is different from the mind and the body and the experiences of the mind and the body. He is only the observer, the witness of the things which happen distant from him, like the projections of images on the screen of a cinema theater. No? Such a person understands that everything he experiences while awake, while sleeping, and while dreaming are just functions of the material intelligence, and they are not under his control, but under the control of material nature and its three gunas. I will take half of the verse, it's very compact verse, and read it now in the translation. The living entity within the body is ascertained to possess characteristics different from these states. Or in simple English, the living entity has different characteristics than the experiences which he makes while waking, sleeping, and deep sleeping, and thus remains as a witness to them. Think about it, my dear devotees. Now we are awake. We are in a wakeful consciousness. I think every one of us is awake. Let me check if we have some sleeping members. Not yet, maybe in 20 minutes. And in our wakeful state, we have certain experiences. You see colors, you see parrots, and so on. So it could well happen, as I have predicted, that one of you will fall asleep and will dream maybe of New Zealand and fresh energy bars from the health shop in Christchurch. No? And in his dream, he will relate to this experience. Just moments before, he was maybe here and was awake to this reality. Now he is in a dream and is in a way, let us use the word, aware of the dream reality, which he observes just like he observes the reality in the wakeful state of consciousness. Do you understand me up till here? We are a witness of this reality, a separated entity who just observes. And we are a witness of the dream reality, a more subtle reality, which we also observe. Now, if what happens to most of us, we become identified with the reality, we become sucked into it, and we identify with it. But It is a little bit like my grandmother when she was for her first time in the cinema and she saw a chariot drawn by four horses coming towards the camera. She screamed and ran out of the cinema thinking how foolish these people are to stay in their seats when the chariot is just about to roll over them. Huh? She was identified with the images, like a lot of us who are identified by what is going on in the wakeful, in the cinema called wakeful consciousness, or in the other cinema called sleeping consciousness, not sleepiness, dreams. No? But if you become a little bit spiritually advanced, which will hopefully happen to all of us one day, we will be able to detach ourselves and come to this position of Shakshit Vena, means witnessing what is going on in the material world. I'm thinking of Prabhupada, who one day came down from his room and he smiled and there was one tooth missing. And his servant said, "Prabhupada, where is the tooth?" And Prabhupada said, "It fell out. It's under the cushion where I slept." Not identified. Or when Prabhupada's body was carried up, when he was so ill in Vrindavan, my dear devotees, that he could not move any longer, we had to carry him to the roof, and Prabhupada was laughing and we were shaking, and we were saying, "Prabhupada, what?" And he said, "I explain when we are up." And then Prabhupada said, "Is that a Bengali joke? It's so subtle that most probably you won't laugh, so I will not repeat it here. It is a joke where he said, "Yeah, I'm practically dead, but four strong people carry me up. This is like a man who needs to pass a stool and he goes on a white, precious horse and to pass stool." It's subtle, I understand. We maybe laugh because we understand it's subtle. So much effort for such an insignificant activity. That is what Prabhupada wanted to explain with this. Totally detached. When a few German devotees had the last darshan of Srila Prabhupada in the Bhaktivedanta manner, Srila Prabhupada asked, "So, have you understood our philosophy?" And then after we had a few missed answers, we missed the goal. He said, "First of all, you have to understand that life is eternal. You are an eternal soul. You are not the body, but you can observe this. You can use this. You are an eternal soul. You're not even the mind, but you can observe it." It says, "It's not just the mind, it's dreams, it's..." and so on. So there are three states of awareness. The last is Sushuptam. It's deep sleep. You are practically dead. Only your, what is it in yoga philosophy? The pranas are moving and keep your body, your gross body breathing. But you are still there. So in all the three states, wakefulness, dream state and deep sleep, you are there. And in the two first states, wakefulness and sleep, you can observe what is going on. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita talks about this. He says, the awakened soul while accepting things, giving things away, seeing things, hearing, etc., knows that only the material body is active while he himself is not doing anything. Let's be practical, because I see some of you start fidgeting, moving quickly around means, this is ending. Let's be practical. Some of you will get a cold, most probably. I got one, and I'm an old-timer in this. When you are very identified, you're disturbed. Maybe I should go back to Germany. When you understand this idea which has just been presented, I'm only the witness. See, you all start. I'm only the witness. I'm observing. I'm distant. I'm different from this. You're not disturbed. You understand? Yeah, the body will go through different changes. By the way, it's very good in Vrindavan to suffer a little. A lot of karma is it's called karmic bloodletting. Those of you who know English. So, my dear devotees, it's when you come to japa, you need to the next level of your japa, you need to detach yourself from your thoughts, which come and go. You need to detach yourself, just like you can detach yourself from your mobile telephone by switching on it on, now I need help, silent mood, or not, or saying at the moment I'm inaccessible, switch. You can switch out your material mind, which reacts with material memories and material thoughts and so on, and just when something comes there, observe it, just like we observe these two devotees coming into the tent now. We are not affected by it, except yes, welcome, but I have to be careful not to shock anyone. We observe it. In the Living Name book, you will find a meditation, it's called the Mountain Meditation, where you are taking on the qualities of firmness, of stability, from where you observe the passing thoughts, much like a mountain which would observe the passing clouds which come and go. My dear devotees, for spiritual advancement, this is very, very, very important. I have the opportunity to once in a year observe a wonderful man from South Europe. Now, it is known, South Europeans have more emotions than North Europeans. And I can see how this young man is often a victim to his passing emotions. He gets into moods and he cannot so easily get out of the mood because he is yet to learn this very simple understanding of spiritual life, to take on the position of Shakshit Vena, a neutral observer. As long as we are a little bit identified, we are overwhelmed by the emotions. When we have learned to detach ourselves from emotions, it's very important, my dear devotees, for our mental well-being and the well-being of those who are around us. If we can learn to come to this Shakshitva position, it's called in Sanskrit, then we are not affected, and then our japa goes into a new dimension. Sanatana Goswami, he makes that point in Hari Bhakti Vilas. You can only do japa, real japa, where you're really absorbed in the holy names, when you detach yourself from the material perceptions which are there in the vehicle, in the different states of consciousness. Am I clear, or is this too theoretical for you? You need an example? Yes. Okay, an example. Zurich. 5 years ago, Satchinandan Swami is giving a Sunday feast. At the end, the door opens to the temple and two people come in. They sit down. He's pleased. More people. All of a sudden, he notices that one of the two persons starts to move the fingers. And the other goes, Satchinandan Swami thinks, what is this? People from the yoga scene, you know, when the yoga scene have kirtan, they go. It's nowhere in the yoga shastras, but it's a must if you're in, no? He thinks, what is this? But Satchinandan Swami decides, let me be the neutral observer. Let me not judge. Let me not make any emotional reaction to this. Just observing. And I'm observing also my own thoughts on this, my own process, just there observing. All the lectures over, the people come to me and thank me. One person speaks to me and says, thank you. He says, Hare Krishna, may I just know out of curiosity, what's the meaning? Oh, he is deaf. He cannot hear. I was just explaining through sign language your lecture. And your lecture had some new points, so I needed to be a little creative. I thought, wow, very good that I did not react and throw you out of the lecture, which I've done in the past. Very good that I observed you only and was only the neutral observer. Nothing more, nothing less. This is very important to learn for devotees. As long as you identify and stay on the bodily and mental platform, your spiritual advancement will go very, very, very slow. You need to detach. You need to understand, you see what is going on. Now, if we go one step further, we understand we are not the seer, we are the seen. God sees us all the time, He watches us, and the moment He sees that we are turning towards Him in japa, in the holy name, He's very, very pleased. With these eyes, I can only see and witness and observe either gross matter or subtle matter. With these eyes, I can't see or observe Krishna. Atasi Krishna Namadi. Krishna cannot be seen or understood with dull material senses. But Krishna can see us. There is a verse I have learned, Shubhadrishti Karo Prabhu. Oh my Lord, please, this in the morning when we come to the altar, we say, oh my Lord, please awake and please open your eyes and cast your merciful glance upon the world. Please awaken in my heart auspicious divine love for you. The Lord sees you. The Lord hears you. But you cannot see the Lord and hear him as of yet. But when he becomes pleased to you, he gives up his neutral position. He comes out of hiding and gives you divine spiritual experience. Says there's in the Gita verse. But before I tell you the verse, I want to see. You can't see Vrindavan Dham, my dear devotees. What Vrindavan Dham means is not just dust and parrots and what your eyes see. It is Chintamani. It is full of sparkling jewels. You cannot see the deity. You cannot hear the name. But the Dham can see you. The Dham, the deity can see you. And the name can hear you. I want to say something funny so that everyone enjoys. This was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's one of his main philosophical contributions, that we do not see the spiritual reality, but we are seen. Once, that means the spiritual reality is there, it's there and it works on us, it looks on us. Once he was, here comes the humorous part, he was, one of his devotees served a Calcutta High Court judge some rasagullas. So he ate, and then the devotee said, so have you eaten the rasagullas, or have the rasagullas eaten you? Now the High Court judge felt offended. You know, it's almost like you know, when someone eats a pizza and you and he goes really enthusiastic at the pizza, he's soon red all over his cheeks. I've seen that in Australia. You know, really, really, with 20 mouths at once, he eats the pizza. And you might ask, well, is the pizza eating you? In other words, it is a little offensive. It means maybe you are a little gluttonous, you know. So the High Court judge was very frustrated. He said, I have my wife. She can make rasagullas for me. I don't come here to eat your rasagullas. And he left. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur heard about this later and smiled. And then he said, you should go to the house of the Rashagu, the High Court man, and you should make it clear what you meant. So the devotee came and said, I was just wanting to express that prasadam is spiritual. It is above us. And we are not controlling the prasadam or eating the prasadam. The prasadam eats our subtle body, you know, it destroys our subtle mind and makes so that our bhakti can come forth. That is what I meant. And, said the High Court judge, I also felt bad that I left, but you should have explained. I thought you wanted to pull a joke on me. My dear devotees, to speak a little simpler than this, I find it very simple, but this is an arrogant statement. What I wanted to say, in simple words, it means Krishna sees all of us and hears all of us during japa, even if we can't see him or hear him during japa. Samohang Savabhuteshu, Krishna says, I'm equal to all living entities. I have no friends and no enemies amongst them. But those who do my worship, ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya, mayi titeshu chapyaham. I am in them and they are in me. That means when Krishna is there in our heart, and when he sees you turning to Krishna, turning to him in japa, he sees you and he becomes active in your heart by destroying the inauspicious obstacles which you have. And he takes active care. He thinks you are family. Krishna says, they are mine. They are my special people. This is a very important understanding in japa. Don't expect miracles. Don't expect to see Krishna. Don't expect even ecstasy. Just know that Krishna is there and he hears you and he can do wonders with you. You're not the doer when you do japa. Krishna, in the form of his holy name, is the active doer and cleanses your heart. He will make you perfect. You don't have to become perfect on your own. And just understand, this is the first lesson in Sambandha. I belong to Krishna. I may not be able to see him, but now I turn to him. Practical. I want to give a little experience now to all of you. And we will do one kirtan together with this understanding. Maybe something happens to us which we will find surprisingly thing. This meditation will clarify a little bit where you stand at this moment in your relationship with Radha and Krishna. Even if you see I'm not yet so far, it doesn't matter. It will act as a powerful inspiration to improve whatever needs improving. You might find out when you do this meditation more often that it transforms your life, and you might even see that your so-called problems are not existing. They are only existing on certain levels, but if you don't identify with them, rather when you identify with yourself being an eternal, being a soul different from the body and the mind, you will see you're not at all concerned with the mayic world any longer. So we are ready now.
Same melody.
When I give you the sign. So I need a few who don't meditate, our Madanga player and the musical support team. How are you, by the way? Are you sleepy or are you okay? Okay. Nitai is coming in. I will watch you, Nitai. Maybe you will be the first one who goes into the dreaming state. But only watch your dreams. Don't become identified. You're not their dreams. Not.
Mm.
dear devotees, I request you at the outset of this meditation to just look a little around in a relaxed way. We will go very deep in a few moments.
This is a little bit too deep.
You see maybe Giriraj, the trees. There's a monkey walking on the wall. We've invited some parrots to come for the acoustical. Yes. Atmosphere. Maybe look at the tent. It is visited, our tent, by like-minded devotees and friends who wish to make a deeper experience with the holy name. You're perfectly safe. It's a meditation which will take about a little time, but then we will sing. It will be Kirtan meditation or meditation on the holy name. Please now center yourself. That is, be a little bit on your own. Yes, we are in a tent full with sympathetic Vaishnavas, but for now I request you to center yourself. Be on your own. You can either close your eyes or just be by yourself and just become aware what is going on in your wakeful state of consciousness. Maybe you hear some birds. The beautiful Vrindavan birds. Maybe you hear your own breathing. By the way, I want to say, as we are meditating, we become a little relaxed. So some of you will feel that the suppressed coughing will come up. No problem. It means your body is responding. Maybe you hear some devotees cough. We call it the Vrindavan symphony. Maybe you hear the Russian translation in the background. Now let everything around you slowly and gently disappear. And bring your attention to what is going on in your life. Maybe there are some very wonderful relationships which you have. Maybe there's a relationship that needs repair. Maybe your health is very improved or or there's some concern, maybe a project is going very nice, or there's a problem with the project. Bring your attention to what is going on in your life. And then let it slip away. Your relationships, for the moment, they are slipped away. Your job, gone. Your important responsibilities, future desires, all gone. You're just there, like you always were, totally free, not at all related to anything which is going on in your material life. Remember, you're absolutely on your own. You're sitting at the side of Giriraj. You feel completely safe and spiritually connected. All the things you experience when you are awake are things of the material dimension. All your dreams are also connected with this little life, but you are in your truest being, an eternal spiritual soul, an eternal servant of Radha and Krishna. It is only due to some misfortune that you have been absent from that relationship. But your fortune has turned. Yes, you have come to a turning point. You have finally met Srila Prabhupada or his servants, and you have learned about your real identity as a pure spirit soul, completely separate from the gross and the subtle body. You have been inspired to take up the path of eternal loving service to their lordships Radha and Krishna. Now for a moment, in your mind's eye, see that Radha and Krishna are directly before you. Maybe you have a favorite deity. Remember these deities now. Maybe there's a favorite picture. Radha and Krishna, no one else. And you have the chance to sing for them You can turn to the divine couple and offer this ancient prayer. I surrender to you, Sri Radha Krishna. Whatever is mine is in truth your property. Everything is for your sake. Everything is for your enjoyment. Nothing is meant for my enjoyment. And in this prayerful mood, as a soul freed from all what has been added, as a soul who is not covered, we turn now to Radha and Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna.
in relationship to the world, we are the seer. In relationship to Krishna and the spiritual world, we are not the seer, we are the seen. What could this mean to us in Kirtan and Japa? I think in the meditation which we just did, we turned off all the lights which were shedding illumination to the to today's and yesterday's things. We went into a time-free zone. In Japa we turn off really the light to our material life, to our material identity. We just one by one eclipse all this. It's like when you go through a house before you go to sleep and in the rooms are the light on, you go to the living room, switch off, tsk, you go to the kitchen, tsk, switch off, oh, there's light in the bathroom, I didn't know, tsk, switch off, then you go to your room and the sleeping room, and also there you turn off all the lights, because you know soon you will see something very different when you enter your dreams. So in spiritual life we also turn off our awareness to these temporary material things which are taking so much time, so much effort, so much emotional energy, and we just purposefully turn on the light only to Krishna. And although Krishna is not yet seen by us when we do japa, just to know that he watches us, that just to know that he has an eye on us is already so soothing. Srila Prabhupada used to speak like this about his spiritual master. Many years after Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had left the world, Prabhupada said, I know my spiritual master is always watching me. No? From the spiritual world, he's always watching me. Prabhupada once spoke about chanting. He said, when you chant, Krishna comes and asks you, yes, what do you want? So if you are all in the world, my dear devotees, all with the mental games and physical games, then you are like children who are not ready for the grown-up life, the life which is more wonderful. So I request that we do this now in japa. No? Did you bring your japa malas with you? If you don't, no problem. Please don't now run to your rooms, because the workshop is over when you come back with your japa mala. You can chant also without your beasts. I would like to just briefly remind you, we will now chant in the Giriraj Tera. Tera means Netere, the land directly around Giriraj, very holy place. And our meditation is, I'm not the body, I'm eternal, or if it sounds easier for you, I'm an eternal servant, an eternal soul. Huh? And Giriraj hears me. Krishna hears me. Okay, so sit properly. Yeah.
Krishna. Oh, sitting properly. Maharaji. Sitting properly. Very difficult.
Our first exercise will be, we will watch now our own sound vibration. We will hear our own sound. Sometimes if you want to practice hearing your sound, you can take your left hand, bring it to the ear, like this. Please don't photograph me, it looks so foolish. I already have bad internet, this will increase the badness. And just speak into the thing, into the hand, and just hear yourself. No? This is called the seer, the Shakshi Dwa. You know, being a witness, as Prabhupada says, listen to your own chanting. That is what you need to do. Switch off everything else. Don't listen to the mind any longer. No. Don't listen to the parrots any longer. No. Don't listen to the Russian... if you are Russian, listen to the Russian translation, but the others not. And just, you are a witness. You can decide what you want to participate and what you don't want to participate in. Don't listen to your emotions. No need. This is not you. Just listen to the sound of Krishna. No? This is our first exercise. One moment.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Please continue. I will speak to you, but please always continue.
Hare
Please listen to the sound which you are making.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna.
How is your sound?
Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Thank you very much. Now the second part of the exercise is, please know that Krishna is hearing your japa. Please rest in the awareness that Krishna is listening to you. Radha and Krishna are listening to you.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Please continue. I will speak to you, but please continue.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
In the scriptures, Krishna says that he is very inclined to those who chant. In the Adi Purana, Krishna tells Arjuna, O Arjuna, those who chant are in my heart.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Krishna is nearby. Krishna is present.
Krishna, Hare,
Hare. Krishna observes you.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Now come your three last mantras.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Two more.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama.
Now your last mantra. Hare Krishna. What was this all about? It was about sambandha, a relationship between you, the soul, and Krishna. For this relationship to be very vibrant, very alive, you have to first become real. That is, you have to uncover from the falsities, the false identifications with your perceptions in the waking and dreaming states. And then turn to Krishna and know he's there. You are his. You belong to him. Like he says, those who do bhajan, what is it? Ye bhajanti. Tumang bhaktya, ye bhajanti tumang bhaktya, mayi te te shuchabhyam. If someone is engaged in devotional service, then I am in them. And they are in me. This is a real connection. Good. We have now a few minutes for questions. Please forgive me if I was not always very clear. I felt in the beginning we were going a little holprig, we say in German. Holprig. I think the word holprig tells you what it means, you know. A little shaky, bumpy road, no? But I hope you could hear. I can imagine this is something you want to listen again and realize on a deeper level than I was able to present today. But let us see if there are some questions by you. Yes, Prabhu. Maybe we have even a microphone for... Yes, Josh's microphone is here. You can definitely speak, but then that if you speak in the microphone, they will all understand the question. And then the answer is more intelligible. You can think very deeply about your question while the microphone is coming to you.
Thank you. My question is, just like you mentioned, that we have to detach from the material things, or even the body and the mind. If we take the intelligence also, that's also material, that also comes in the subtle body. It's like if you are quoting this verse, Ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya, maitetresu chakya. If this verse I have memorized, but if I identify myself with this verse, that I know this verse. So I'm still working on the material platform. According to your first, you said that we have to be detached from that. That in this case, I should take this verse in my memory that is totally different from my self, my soul. Then I'm able to separate and detach from this fact. That, okay, this verse is in my memory, it's not something which I myself stand for. Is this the right understanding?
Thank you. What is going on in the body, the intelligence, is also material. When we go with our body, our intelligence, into our memory, and take something out of our memory, that is a process which is a material process. When we chant the holy name, however, this material process, which, you know, the body is in the mode of passion, is no longer going on. You remember smaranam, but you don't draw from with your body from the bank of your memory, but by the mercy of the holy name, you see spiritual things which are independent from this material process. For that, you have to receive the holy name. You have to open yourself up to the holy name. And in a way, this is modern American English, you have to, that's what I heard from Mahatma, you have to turn off the various material functions to not be distracted. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur talks about smaranam, the process of remembering. And there's one way it's material. It's when the intelligence goes to material concept, to the store of the memory and pulls things out. Other smaranam is when you chant the holy name. Mahaprabhu calls this nam smaranam, or meditation. And then as you chant, all of a sudden, whoop, the picture of Radhasyam Sundar is coming. No? That is not within the category of material activity, but it is a revelation. It could, of course, be that your material body is active, but we are not speaking of that. Thank you for your question. Any other question? Yes, Madhaji, I'm seeing you.
Thank you so much, Maharaj, for this wonderful meditation. I just wanted to know that should we be using this as a practice, that we meditate a little bit like this before we sit down to chant?
Should we use this as a practice? We are doing such things in our workshops in order to give devotees an experience, and it is the experience which they hopefully make if they participate, which they will keep in their memory, and then they will have that experience in another way. Let me be very clear. If I sit down, no, why should I? I'm the most uninteresting person. If a devotee sits down and chants proper japa, there are a few things which go on in him before or while he does it. It's really very fast. It's very fast what goes on. In simple words, these are a few principal things which go on. Oh, I'm now chanting for Krishna. Oh, we have a relationship. I'm a part and parcel. I'm a part of Krishna. And other similar devotional things are going on according to his advancement, level of advancement. Now, a beginner needs to somehow connect with Krishna. So, in the workshops, I have unpacked the things which go on and presented them as practices. But I don't think we should regularly do them. I would like to give you an example. Today, Burijan Prabhu gave a lecture on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Most of us were here, no? You were here?
I came at around 12 o'clock.
So 12 o'clock means towards the end. Then you didn't miss what I'm talking about. Towards the end, I will now speak as Sri Ram has said. Sri Ram is from Alachua, knows South American English. He teared up. You understand what this means? He teared up. Is that in all English? It's the first time I heard it in my life. Not in all English languages. He became emotional and tears manifested. No, but Sri Ram expressed, he teared up. He was not torn asunder. He teared up, you know. So he teared up. Did some of you notice how he teared up? He became emotional and cried. Some of you, yeah, we noticed. Now what, that is a highly, that's a wonderful state in Krishna consciousness. He was shy, he immediately covered it. He started the kirtan, you know, and he didn't make a show out of it. So what is behind this? An elderly devotee sitting and becoming moved by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Years of practice, years of reading, years of dedicated service in Prabhupada's movement brought him to this move that he thought, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so wonderful. He went to Gaya and he was initiated, and then he wanted to run to Vrindavan, and when he came to Navadvip, he expressed what was now deep in the core of his heart, a new thing which had happened to him. He actually missed Krishna so much that he felt separation. And he was talking about this, and he was becoming, and what am I? Am I feeling separation? He may have felt many things, regret, this or that or the other thing. No? Many, they are the result of many years of practice. Now, to lead devotees to a more deeper understanding of Krishna consciousness, it's just that we take our philosophy serious. Like Prabhupada said, when he was asked how long does it take to become Krishna consciousness, he said it could happen in 1 second or not after 50 lifetimes. It all depends on your sincerity. So when we chant, yes, if you want to make it a sincere practice, no? And not just, oh, I have to finish this, why was I so foolish to promise 16 rounds when I was out of my mind? They made me do this, these rascals. Ah, and then I gave a donation even on top of it. You know, so okay, like this, you can chant like this, and and be frustrated when you do it, or you can say, oh, let's make this a sincere practice. What am I doing now? I'm chanting. What is this? Well, this is a process of bhakti. What does bhakti mean? Acha, it's what was the word? Nectar of devotion? Loving devotional service. My God, I'm into something high here. And, you know, and then how do I do this? How do I do this? How do I offer loving devotional service? It's something else than doing something only because you're told, or you gave a promise, or because you won't get prasadam if you don't eat it. Well, if you don't do it, I wanted to say, you also don't get prasadam if you don't eat it. It's just taking it serious. That's why we do these workshop things, which are verses, you know, we quote verses. That was the Buddha Shuddhi verse which we did today, the verse which helps us to detach from material things. And then we take the impression from it, our realization from it, and according to our level, we will practice it. And in this way, go to our next level, next level, and next level, like this. So you don't need to practice this long meditation, but I strongly suggest that when you sit down and do japa, you first of all become a little bit peaceful, that the mind is not, oh, what do I have to buy today? Oh, and Loy Bazaar, I have not picked up the items for the temple, and so on. You just, okay, no, this is now chanting. And in this way, you practice it. It is Krishna consciousness, very simple, but unlimitedly complex at the same time. Unlimitedly deep. You can go unlimitedly. This is just very beginning. It goes very deep. Good. We are 5 minutes over time. This is a scandal for a German speaker. I will finish here. And I thank you very much for your kind participation. I must say, those who are not accustomed to my style of lecturing or my style of doing workshops, I talk very strongly, but behind it is a devotee who just wants to serve you, really. Please forgive sometimes my strong expressions. I'm also not a native English speaking speaker. I speak a different language, so I may speak in a way that is a little bit upsetting please tolerate that. I really, like Burijan Prabhu, we want to bring you to that you can collect the treasures which wait for you, which you deserve to take, and give you an experience. And sometimes we are a little bit pushy. Please forgive and tolerate this. Hare Krishna. So we will have a pause now. So 30 minutes break. Hare Krishna.